And be seated. And thank you for standing. Well, we're continuing with this thought of investing in what cannot be taken away. And we found out this, that invest means to expend time, money, effort, or energy to achieve a profit. How many of y'all want to be profitable in life? Amen. I know I do. Amen. How many of y'all want to be profitable financially? Amen. That wouldn't hurt either. Amen. But by the way, you can't take that with you. Amen. But what you gain from Christ, you can take that with you. Amen. So we're talking about investing in that which cannot be taken away. Amen. Our Christ-likeness cannot be taken away, whether we live or whether we die. Praise God. And we already saw investing more in the person of God in Jesus Christ cannot be taken away. Now we're looking at investing in the promises of God that cannot be taken away. Amen. We're all in Psalm 119 with these accounts here. The first of the four we saw meditate and delight used in this fashion. Verses 15 and 16, we saw meditating in the promises will bring delight in our days. We all want delight in our days. Amen. I don't know if anybody wakes in the morning and says, I want to be grumpy today. Now, we do wake up grumpy sometimes, amen? But I don't know if anybody wakes up and says, I want to be grumpy today. I just want to be like the seven dwarfs, the one was grumpy, amen? I don't want to be that way. I want to be happy today, amen? So the psalmist here in Psalms 119 is talking about his love for the Word of God in the midst of all the problems he's going through. And he says in verses 15, 16, I can delight in my days. The second account was in Psalm 119, 23, and 24. And we saw meditating in the promises then bring delight to our decisions and our direction. Amen. You can be delightful knowing that your decisions are sound by God and the direction you're going is sound by God. Amen. By the way, the nation is going in the wrong direction. With legalizing gay marriages in the past and abortion, we're going in the wrong direction. But you and I, as the people of God, can know that we're going in the right direction. Amen. So when you look at this, make sure that you understand, hey, look, my decisions and my directions can be delightful if they're ordered by Almighty God. Amen. And so then we saw in both of those passages, 15, 16, and then 23 and 24, meditate came first, delight came second. Then we moved down to verses 47 and 48, and we found that delight in the promises move us to meditate more on the promises. And this time, delight came first, meditate came second. What am I saying here? The more I meditate on the Word of God, the more I got delight. And the more I delight in God, the more I want to meditate on His Word. Amen. It just goes like that. Amen. It just does. And so we saw that it moves us to meditate more on the promises. Now we come up to the last of the four. And I am not going to finish this today, but we are going to start it. Amen. The last of the four, verses 77 and 78. And notice what verse 77 says here by the psalmist. And it says this, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may, what's the word? Live, for thy law is my what? Delight. In verse 77 here, the psalmist knows he needs God's mercies to live, but he desires tender mercies. I mean, it's one thing to get mercy, but you want somebody to be tender with the mercy that they give, amen? Some people, well, now what is mercy? Not giving what you deserve. You know, somebody can just say, well, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. That's not pretty tender. Hey, you know, that's kind of rough. I don't know if I want that kind of mercy. I'll take it, amen? But to say, I'm going to have mercy on you, you better be glad, you better be thankful. Bravo. I don't think so. Now think about it. The psalmist is already going through afflictions as it is. He's already having a hard time about things around him. The last person he needs to be unmerciful with him is God Almighty, the Father of mercy. And so he says down there, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I might live. For thy law is my delight. He's asking God to be really gentle with him amidst all the other attacks that he's going through. And by the way, we need that when we're being unfairly treated, don't we? Right. Amen. Hey, he's already speaking about all the different afflictions that he's going through for his stand on the Word of God. And so he's going to God and saying, God, I want you to be tender and giving me mercy. I'm being afflicted on every hand, and I'm not receiving any mercy, but you are merciful, and don't just give me mercy, be tender in it. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes, amen, I feel like I'm going to die. Notice what it says down here. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. He said, if you're not tender in your mercy, I don't know if I can make it. Now, sometimes we feel like we're going to die if we're going through a situation, don't we? We're going through some unfair treatment, and you look and you say, oh, one more day like this, Lord, and I think I'm just going to die. I'm just going to give up. I remember times that I would look at the work schedule, and I would see who I was working with, and I'm like, oh, I'm messed up before I even go into the job. Just by looking who I got to work with that. And I think, oh, Lord, not them. Oh, Lord. And I got to be in a car with them, and we're driving 6 hours in the car. Oh, Lord, help me. They have mercy on me. 6 hours with this person is too much. My wife shaking her head. She knows some of the people I'm talking about. Amen. And sometimes I just felt like I was going to die. I'm getting in the vehicle with the person, and I'm just praying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, let me say the right things. Let me be the right thing. Lord, let me just conversate with them in a right way. And then they start off right off the bat. As soon as I get in the car, I'm thinking, see, Lord, that's why I want to go with them. That's exactly why I want to go with them. They're cursing, they're swearing, they're talking about me and this, that, and the other, talking about my Christianity, talking about my church, talking about my Bible. Lord, that's why I want to. I just feel like we're going to die sometime. You know what I said? Lord, I need your tender mercies. I need your tender mercies because I feel like I'm going to die. And when unfair treatment happens, we begin to look at that. And fortunately for the psalmist, the word of God was his delight. Notice what he says, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. He said, you know what, Lord? If you're tender in your mercies, then I'm going to make it. I'm going to make mine because I love your word. Your word tells me how much you love me. I love it so I can make it. I may shudder when I look at the schedule, but I know it's going to be all right. I know at the end of the day, I'm going to get home and get through this day and go through another one. I'm going to need your tender mercies again. But today, oh Lord, today, I need it that I can just live. I can just get by. So in verse 78, he says this, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. The psalmist has battles with the proud, and he's got a guard against pity parties. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had many a pity party. You know the bad thing about pity parties? Nobody wants to come. You can invite all the people in the world. Come and feel sorry for me. Come and have pity with me. Oh, it's so bad for me. Come on, honey. Have pity with me. Come on, children. I'm like, yeah. No, I got to wash dishes. Yeah. Well, I got to get garbage. Well, I got to do something. Not come to your pity party. Nobody wants to come to pity parties. And so the psalmist here is saying, hey, look, the proud are here, and more places the proud exist, and high places the proud exist. More reason why meditating on the word God is good, and it cannot be taken away. Amen. Amen. Hey, he says, let the proud be ashamed. They dealt perversely with me without a cause. He said, there was no reason for them to do it. He says, but you know what, for me, I'm going to meditate in the precepts. I'm going to stay in the book. And that cannot be taken away. So in verses 77 and 78, the life comes first, that he can just live. And then meditate comes second, because he says, I'm still being dealt with perversely without a cause. By the way, that's his theme throughout Psalm 119. He's been unjustly persecuted. And the psalmist says, you know what? I may have some unjust persecution, but I got a just God. My just God gets me in the Word of God, and I tell you, it just makes everything seem a little better. Now, it may not get better, but oh, it seems a lot better. Hey, at least I can live, he says. Hey, they may be perverse without a cause, but I can meditate. Why? I can't control what they do. But I can control what I do. And yes, I may have to get in the car with them and drive 6 hours. But guess what? I'm going to live because I know what my delight is. And yes, they may be unjustly against me without a cause, But because of my meditation on the Word of God, I know my Savior went through the same thing, and he made it so I can make it. I know the Apostle Paul went through it so I can make it. I know Joseph and Moses went through it so I know I can make it. I know many other folks have gone through it, so I just need to flip through the pages, meditate in the precepts, and know that I can make it. I'm going to live, I can delight, and I can meditate. It's going to be all right. I'll make it to see another day, amen. By the way, 19 years, we're celebrating this year in the ministry, and I tell you what, there were times when I thought, Lord, I just need to live past today. I just need to live past today. I don't even want to face tomorrow. It just seems that bad sometimes. Well, we're going to cover these eight verses between this today and next week, and notice some things about this psalmist and the background verses from 73 to 80 surrounding the psalmist's testimony about the Word of God and the why he enjoys something that cannot be taken away in light of where he's coming from. When we look at this section, this block of eight verses, it makes us understand more why he's saying what he's saying. Because sometimes you do just feel like, I just need to live. Sometimes you do feel like, you know, they definitely perversely put out a call. There was no reason for what you just did. There's no reason for what you just said to me. There was no reason for it at all. And what are you going to do? Fight? I'll box. I don't think so. What are you going to do? Call a name? Then they'll call you Christianity into question. What are you going to do? Slander their name back? How much Christ-likeness is that? You know, our Christianity is shown its greatest when we're being dealt with in the worst way. Think about Jesus Christ on the cross. He, being the Son of God, showed his power and might to let them do it, knowing that he could undo it and let them do it. By the way, it was for you and it was for me. This psalmist is going through something similar, nowhere near close to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we do know that he just feels like he's going to die in verse 77. He says, I just want to live. And in verse 78, he says, these proud folks are against me. He said they're doing things without a cause. And so I want us to notice, first of all, starting back up in verse 73, and we'll step down here and just do a couple of these, then we'll finish up next week. Notice in verse 73, the psalmist's view of creation can't be taken away. His view of creation can't be taken away. Notice what he says in verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. You know what he's saying? You made me and you molded me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Now, thinking about what we just read in verses 77 and 78, he said, Lord, you made me. Lord, you molded me. He said, so you know what I need? I need you to help me understand some things. I need you to help me understand. And not just any old way. I need you to help me understand it through your word. Through your word. So think about that. The psalmist's view of creation can't be taken away. Perhaps the psalmist is asking for understanding and how to navigate in such a wicked world where people are constantly against him. Noah had to go through that wickedness. Joseph had to go through that wickedness. Paul was faced with that wickedness. But wait a minute, Paul was a part of that wickedness once upon a time. Amen. And so the psalmist needs some understanding on how to guide himself, how to navigate amongst this wickedness, amongst this persecution, this perverseness. And by the way, that's how God molds us. Sad to say. Said about Jesus, he learned obedience to the things which he suffered. Now, he was obedient already, but he was in the flesh. Do you know that your flesh and my flesh cry out when it's not dealt with properly? You get cold. You get hot. You prick yourself. You cut yourself. Somebody poke you in the eye. Your flesh cries out. It says, help. Jesus had to suffer the beating on the cross, the pounding from the soldiers, the piercing in the side, the crown of thorns laid upon his head. His flesh was affected, yet the Bible says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He had to go through those things, and he understood what it means to obey the Father, even unto the death of the cross. And sometimes God uses that same persecution for you and I to mold us and to make us. Why? He made us. Notice what it says again in verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. He's saying, God, you made me and you molded me. He says, now give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. In other words, we need understanding to understand people. By the way, everybody's created image of God. That doesn't mean that everybody asks God to lead. So I say amen. There's some people act devilish. But guess what? The devil didn't have any children. He didn't create any children. Amen. We're all born into sin, and we have the nature of sin, and we have the nature of the devil, but we're created in the image of God. Now, figure that one out if you can. And so it is God fashioning us, making us. And so he says, give me understanding. By the way, let me give you this. We need to understand husbands. We need to understand wives. We need to understand children. We need to understand parents. We need to understand co-workers. We need to understand friends. We need to understand neighbors and, yes, church members, especially those that are Green Bay Packer fans.
Amen.
And we have to understand through the commandments of God that everybody is not like you, although everybody is a sinner like you. But everybody has their little quirks. Everybody has their little nuances. Everybody has those little things that make them them. And so when you're going through this and you see that, he says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Basically, you made me, you mold me. He said, now I need some understanding that I can learn thy commandments and know how to deal with people. Because they've been created in your image, but everybody doesn't act like you. Amen. By the way, you have to be through this world. You and I need understanding. We need understanding. Say, preacher, how can we get this and where can we start? Let me give you this. When he says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments, a good place to start with the commandments is with the first 10.
Amen.
That's a good start. That's a good start. Verses 1 through 4, it tells about getting understanding toward God, because each of the four first ones gives a relationship with God. Number 5, give me understanding upward toward my parents. Say, why upward toward my parents? They're not God. Hey, but they're an authority. Our nation is in the state it is right now because people don't want to obey authority. Amen. You can say what you want to say, but our nation is corrupt now because some parents can discipline their children and make them obey authority, and now they get out with the policemen and their bosses and whoever, and they don't want to obey authority. That's why we have this problem. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor means to lift them up in a position of reverence. Honor thy father and thy mother, Exodus 20:12. So a good place to start is the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to get understanding according to the commandments. The first four, give me understanding toward God, upward. The number 5, give me understanding toward parents. And then 6 through 10, give me understanding toward other people.
Amen.
Saved and unsaved. By the way, do you know that even though we're saved, we still sin?
Amen.
And do you know that even though we're saved, the Bible still says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Do you know that we can do those things?
Amen.
I'm just saying. So what does the psalmist say? He says, you molded me, you made me, you fashioned me. Now I need understanding that I can learn your commandments. Because if I can learn your commandments, I can learn how to deal with others that you created as well. Amen. And who is one of the main ones he needs to understand? The ones persecuting him. Amen. The ones persecuting him. Perhaps the psalmist needed better understanding in the way of sinners, remembering he's being persecuted for his stand in the Word of God. And the best way to understand sinners is to remember you are one too. So I say then, hey, don't get all holy to thou. I've never sinned. You just need to be lying. I'm the most holiest person in the world. Give me liberty or give me death, because I've never sinned. You died on the spot. Hey, 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul would tell the Corinthian church, and such were some of you. The best way to understand sinners, remember, you are one too. He maybe needs understanding of the way of sinners. Romans 2:1 puts it this way. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges, For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. In other words, he said, you're doing just like them, and you want to condemn them and blame them, but you harden not without sin either. Last time I checked, he said, he without sin cast the first stone. But perhaps not only does he have to understand the way of sinners, but perhaps he has to understand the way of saints. You know, saints can hurt you and harm you just as well as unsaved people can. Sometimes Christians can hurt you worse because you don't expect them to do it. You expect the unsaved to do it. They're unsaved. They're supposed to be foul. They're supposed to have bad language and lie and curse and cheat. You don't expect Christians to do that. And so sometimes we've got to understand the way of Christians or saints as well as the sinner, because people can do us hurt. Amen? Notice in verse 73 again, the psalmist's view of creation can't be taken away. He says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding. Lord, you molded me. You made me. Now, Lord, help me to understand that I may learn thy commandments. Lord, start me off with the 10 commandments. Let me start with there. Understanding my husband. Understanding my wife. Understanding my parents. Understanding my children. Understanding my boss. Understanding where they're coming from. And with that understanding, whether it's a saint or whether it's a sinner, I've got to understand that such was I as well. Come down to verse number 74. Not only does the psalmist look at the fact that his view of creation can't be taken away, and by the way, neither can yours. The psalmist's view of counsel can't be taken away. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. He said, those that fear you or reverence you, God, they're going to be glad when they see me. Perhaps the psalmist has in mind getting to share his experiences with someone else that's struggling in the faith from persecution. And he gets a chance to sit down with them. And they fear God. And he fears God. He can sit down and say, oh, man, I know what you're going through because I sat there before. I was persecuted just like you. They did this to me as well. And they are glad that they see you coming. I got a call from Pastor Bennett earlier in the week. And we talked for over an hour. And man, it was good talking to him. We were sharing COVID stories and how it affected his church and how it affected our church and some of the brethren that are here and some of the brethren that are compromised immune-wise and how it's going on nationwide in the world. And man, I just got a chance to talk to him. Man, it feels so good to talk to another preacher, another pastor who's got a pastor, a church going through the COVID and what's going on with everything, with the finances and with all the Facebook and all the electronics and all this, trying to jump through hoops and make it work and running up against this wall and getting knocked offline, amen? And it's just so good. What does it say? They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. He said, I'll have a word from God for them. I have a word from God for them. Perhaps the psalmist, it feels good that he can share counsel with someone else who's going through something similar to what he's facing. I talked to Brother Kelly earlier in the week and asking him what he needed. And he said, Rob's going to come out. And Rob's going to be here. And Rob's going to help me get through this. He said, Rob lost someone close in his family. And he just recently went through this. And so he knows what to do. You know what that is? They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. And so Rob can say, look, I'll show you what to expect. We need to do this, and cross that off. Wow, I've been through that. The psalmist here is speaking from a position of being persecuted. He said, I've got to understand through the word of God. I've got to understand how God molded me and made me, and so I can work with other people. And then verse number 74, he says, those people that fear you, they're going to be glad when they see you come. He says, I've got something to share. I've got hope in the word of God. Amen. Hey, but that can't be taken away. You can COVID me all you want to, but you can't take the word out of my heart, amen? You can COVID me all you want to, but you can't stop my prayers. You can COVID me all you want to, but you can't take away my salvation. You can COVID me all you want to, but you can't take away my Holy Spirit. You can COVID me till time gets tough, and I'm still going to heaven. Amen. Amen. He said, hey, I'm hoping in the Word of God. Then we come down to that next verse. So Solomon's view of counsel can't be taken away. Solomon's view of creation can't be taken away. Then verse 75, this is probably about all we're going to get done today, amen. 75, he says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. How many of y'all can say that? God, in your faithfulness, you let this happen to me. We sing a song, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. And as a father, sometimes a father has to inflict things on the children that the children don't like. And the father knows this is for your good, but the child looks up and says, if that's for my good, then give me back. Amen. I'm just saying. Remember when my parents were going to meet out the judgment on me one time? They said, son, this is for your good. I said, well, I'm just one way right now, and you got to get back. Amen. I didn't do it. And guess what? What they gave me that was good for me changed my life.
Amen.
Changed my life. At the age of 15 years old, what they did to me at 15 changed my life, changed my direction, changed my destiny. It changed everything about me. Did I like the affliction? I hated it. But it made me who I am today. He says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. You did this for my good. Many of God's dealings with us are designed to bring a change in our character. And that's exactly what my mother wanted in me. And that's exactly what my father wanted. They wanted to change my character. They saw the direction that I was going. They said, boy, you're going to end up in jail. They said, well, you're going to end up dead. Well, you're going to end up somewhere beaten up and left for dead if you continue in your present course. So we have instilled some discipline on you, some afflictions on you to make you think about your actions, son. Because if your actions don't change, if your attitude doesn't change, you're going to die. Well, he's always quote. A version of scripture says, a disobedient child will not live his days out. That's not the correct quoting, but I got the gist of it, amen. A disobedient child will not live his days out. And she said, I'm going to be one of the first ones to take you out. She said, I refuse to see you go in this direction. I refuse to see it. And I don't have to see it. She said, I'll beat the devil out of you. And I think she did a pretty good job of beating most of him out, amen. I think I got a little bit left over, amen. Many of God's dealings with us are designed to bring a change in our character to be conformed to the image of Christ's likeness. We love Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But there is a verse 29. Turn over with me real quick to verse 29. There is a verse 29. Romans 8:28 is good. All things working together for good. Amen. All things come together. Yeah, Lord, give it to me. All things of God. But there is a verse 29. And notice what 29 says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be, what's that word? Conformed to what? The image of his son. You know that doesn't come by easy living. That doesn't come from easy times. That doesn't come from never being disciplined. That doesn't come from never being chastened or affliction. Because if you're never chastened or afflicted or disciplined, guess what? You're never going to change. Amen. Amen. But he says the all things work together for good because whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to conform to the image of his son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He says, so the 8:28 goes good, yeah, but you've got to be conformed. And so I have to use afflictions to get you to where you need to be. Afflictions for the word of God seems to be an underlying theme for the psalmist. Go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, notice what we're going on because the psalmist's view of correction can't be taken away. We saw counsel in verse 74, and we saw creation in verse 73. But when you come down to verse 75, the psalmist's view of correction can't be taken away. He says, oh, no, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Perhaps he thoughts of Psalms, going through the psalmist's mind, are some of his previous afflictions. Say, preacher, what are we talking about? Go back with me to verse number 50. And we told you from the start that the psalmist is facing a lot of afflictions for his standing word of God. And notice what he says in verse 50. This is my comfort in my, what's the word? Affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Go down to verse 67. Before I was, what's the word? Afflicted, I went where? Astray. Amen. I can say that for assurance. But now have I what? Kept thy word. Notice down in verse 71. It is good for me that I have been what? Afflicted, that I may what? Learn thy statutes. What am I learning? Learning to understand sinners better. Learning to understand saints better. But most of all, learning to understand myself better. What I can and what I can't deal with. What I can and what I can't handle. What I need God's assistance for. Notice verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, there's our word, I should have then what? Perished in what? Mine afflictions. That's why he said that I may live. I just want to live. But Lord, I'm perishing with everything going on around me. If it wasn't for your word. Amen. Come down to verse number 107. I am, what's the word? Afflicted. How much? Very much. Quicken me. Make me alive, O Lord, according unto thy word. Come over to 153. 153, consider my what? Affliction. And what? Deliver me. Why? For I do not forget thy law. The psalmist says, you know what? God is using all this affliction in my life to get me to embrace the word more and the person of God more and say, oh God, I don't care how bad it gets, I'm not slipping from this word. I'm not going from this word. I'm not going from the promise. Oh yeah, it's bad. You know what? The worst that can happen if I die and go to heaven. That's the worst. Let them talk about me. Let them try to abuse me verbally. Let them treat me this way. And the worst is going to happen. I'm going to heaven. Amen and amen. Unfortunately, God uses afflictions by way of sinners, by way of saints, and by way of situations to get our attention from time to time and to get us out of the pity party. Oh, my pity party started last Sunday. I woke up Sunday morning and the refrigerator had leaked all over the carpet. This is Sunday morning. I'm going to go preach. I walked downstairs and I stepped in something. I said, I hope that was plastic. I turned the light on, water was from the refrigerator all into the living room. I said, Lord, this is Sunday morning. I said, I'm trying to get some quiet time. I had to go preach in a couple hours. Why this morning? Why right now? Why on Sunday? Then I'm going to walk, period. Could you not have given this to our neighbor? Could you not have done this to someone else? I proceeded to mop the water up. Proceeded to dry up the carpet best I could, got some fans going. Said, okay, we're at the end of that pink party. Monday morning, I'm getting ready to get in the tub, get cleaned up. They said, oh, look, a big bubble. I'm thinking bubbles that you blow. The air conditioner had begun to leak up in the attic, and it came through and soaked through all the insulation. And there was a big bowl of water. And I thought, gee, the plagues again, the plagues. Lord, yesterday I woke up, there was a refrigerator. Now I'm just trying to get a warm bath, and it's the ceiling. And get up in the attic, fix the air conditioner problem that was leaking all the water, bring out the fan, put one up in the attic. I thought, okay, Lord, why not the neighbor? Why me? Then Tuesday, then Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Get ready to go to bed, and there's water leaking all underneath the cabinet. So what's up with this water, Lord? Am I need to get baptized or something? Water from the fridge? Water from the AC, the faucet's leaking. And I had to take the faucet apart to see where the leak was coming from, dry up all the water. But then woke up a little missing. And the car would start. Somebody left the lights on, battery was dead. Why not somebody else? The Lord said, why not you?
Because I don't like it, that's why. I don't like it. I hate it.
He said, you need that good testing, don't you? You want me to do something else? No, 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 no. The next several mornings, I was walking around on tiptoe eggshells, doing my stuff. Told it's going to break down. Radiator line's going to go bad. You know what God uses to help our character? Sinners, saints, and situations. So you have to be patient, son. Let me flood you out a little bit. At least the floors got clean. The carpet got a little cleaner. Attic got a little cleaner. Got a new battery yesterday. Scolded my family for leaving lights on in the car. And that made me feel better. What am I saying here? Unfortunately, God uses sinners and saints and situations to get our attention. What do you say? I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. You don't have to turn over there, but in Psalm 105, when it came down to Joseph, let me read to you what it says about Joseph when Joseph was afflicted. You say, Joseph wasn't afflicted. Oh, yes, he was. Psalm 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them. I'm speaking of God sending Joseph before them. Even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Notice this. Whose feet they hurt. That word for hurt means afflicted. Whose feet they hurt or afflicted with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. And notice this. The word of the Lord tried him. The word of the Lord tested him. He said, I'm going to test you, Joseph. I'm going to build your character up. And Joseph, is not really about you. It's about saving Israel. Wow. Imagine that. It's not even about me. It's about them. He said, Lord, forget about them. I don't like this affliction. But it's not about you. It's about saving them. Joseph would say, you meant it for evil, and God meant it for good, to save you. Sometimes our affliction is even not for us. It's for somebody else to see the power of God, to see God in us, to see God work. After all those things happened this week, I said, Lord, I didn't know I could do these things, but you gave me miraculous wisdom to not have to pay anything except for the battery. Everything else, God gave me the wisdom to get it done and some good, faithful assistance to help out and a godly wife to assist me through all. I'm in there taking stuff apart. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just glad if I got done, it wasn't leaking. Put that old band-aid on it. What am I saying? Afflictions are going to come. The psalmist knows that. But he said, you know what, Lord? It felt like I was going to die. Lord, you're doing marvelously in what you're doing. And the psalmist's view of correction can't be taken away. The psalmist's view of counsel can't be taken away. The psalmist's view of creation can't be taken away. And his view of this correction cannot be taken away. Praise God. We're going to finish this up next week, folks. I'm just looking forward to it. Because I'll tell you, I didn't know what I was going to make it through this week. I thought my bank book was going to be depleted. You know, and praise God for special love offerings that was given because I didn't know I was going to have to pay for the brand new battery. And you just never know how God uses sinners and saints and situations to afflict us. But you know what? He also uses saints and sinners and situations to bless us too.
Right.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And those same sinners and those same saints, those same situations that can bring afflictions can also bring blessings. Joseph was blessed in the process. I was blessed in the process. And through it all, God gets the honor. What is the psalmist crying out for? He says, I'm going to invest in that which cannot be taken away. What is that, psalmist? For God. He's got me as far as we'll take the rest. Amen. We'll finish this section out next week, Lord willing, and trust in the work in our hearts. I wonder where you're at today. Are the afflictions coming in your life? From saints, from sinners, from situations? Possibly, I just want you to learn His Word a little bit more so you can get your comfort in that. If you can't get in anything else, you can get in His Word to get through this, to help you with your character, to help you to help someone else for the next time. If you're here and you're not saved, maybe God's trying to get you saved. Maybe you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior if you've not done that. I would encourage you to do so. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the opportunity we have to be in Your house, Lord. Look at this psalmist and what this psalmist is going through. Lord, I dare say many of us probably can identify that we have afflictions and situations are afflicting us. Sometimes sinners are afflicting us and sometimes saints are afflicting us. But Lord, help us to remember and recognize that it is You working in us to affect more Christ-likeness, and that cannot be taken away. Help us now, Lord. Maybe one needs to be saved. Help that man, a woman, or a girl to understand the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless in this invitation, Lord. Help us to leave here differently than when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Jesus is going to play a hymn of invitation. You let God speak to your heart. You're going through afflictions. Give it over to the Lord. Going through a tough time, maybe with your husband, maybe with your wife, maybe with your children, maybe with your parents, maybe with a co-worker, maybe with a neighbor, maybe with someone else, maybe just a situation. Perhaps God just wants to help you learn His Word a little bit more and understand and find comfort in His Word. Harsh on that husband. Don't be so harsh on that wife, those children, that parent, that neighbor, that co-worker. Don't be so hard on them because such for some of you. I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That you should play through one more time. You let God speak to your heart. I decided to follow Jesus. Maybe not take it away, Lord, but help me navigate through it. Why? No turning back. No turning back. Father, thank You for meeting with us today. Thank You for this area of Scripture where these words of truth can be used as our comfort as we navigate through our afflictions. Lord, You created us. Lord, You, at the same time, You correct us. Thank You for Your correction. Now, Lord, at the same time with Your creation and Your correcting, Lord, You still love us, comforting us along the way, giving us counsel along the way. Lord, most of all, helping us to be conformed to the image of Christ's likeness. I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl. He's making a decision for Christ. Help him to make it today. And decide to follow Jesus. No turning back. And no turning back. Lord, again, give Brother Kelly and the Kelly family the wisdom they'll need today and throughout this week. And help them, Lord, to know what they should do each and every step of the way. Give them direction. Give them discernment as they walk this path. Thank You for bringing Rob. Give him more of the knowledge as well to help walk Kelly and Lois and the family through these steps that they'll take. Lord, help us return at the next appointed time and receive a blessing from Your Word. Lord, most of all, help us to invest in that which cannot be taken away. We thank You and love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, if you're viewing online, we thank you for joining with us today, and I look forward to the day when we can see you in person. For all those that are here, I love you and appreciate everything you've done for me. I'm glad that you didn't come to my pity party this week, amen, because there's really no room and no one wanted to come anyway, amen. Pastor Mike's got our closing announcements, amen.